all for having me, inviting me tonight. And you're all a tough act to follow, I have to tell you. I'm amazed by what you can do with liver and Grant, though I was happy to find out that Grant was actually named, because it was a little baffling for a bit of time there. So I'd like to read a bit from Flinch of Song tonight, and then follow that with a few poems from Body of Sword. But I wanted to frame the poems and Flinch of Song first by mentioning that a lot of my poems deal with the search for identity, because I think in some ways myself has always been a hidden self. And so Flinch of Song is a book about family and about love, because we have mothers and we have fathers and we have lovers, and I think we are formed by the fires of the love of those people, or the lack of love of those people. So I want to begin with a poem called Slow the Bleeding. Slow the Bleeding. Emptiness never was my mother. I only called it home with wishing, when long ago the bread ran out and my animals could no longer share their house with childhood. Now, from far inside lightning, I finally see. There's nothing to be made of this place. Darkness is determined to stay familiar. And if I do the little singing, I will not need light. My dove flee evening by filling the thick branches where it first gathers. I come ashore at forgetfulness. I go into the sea when the sun is just right. Into my hand goes gleaming until all my thousand mouths are open, though I don't know what they want. Emptiness was a world followed closely by the locusts, though it already had their hunger. Now, when there are animals here, I imagine them, though they are hiding. I drink at the exhaustion this neighborhood makes. My animals recognize light yellower than an eye, streets dead leaves are sweeping, houses filling blackbirds as if they were seeds. Please understand how painful this is, when the vultures can't stand the waiting, when the wolves can come because there is no world. History of Siblings is a poem about my parents' divorce, and my sister and I were really surprised on the day when my parents sat us down that they wouldn't be together anymore, because they didn't fight. They didn't seem to hate each other to the degree that they obviously did. So it was a shattering of a world for us that we thought was a secure world, and I think in some ways that's the worst way to do it. So this is a poem to my sister called History of Siblings. Once the home had been broken, we drank from its stream, which again went to shards in our mouths. We set fire to its ashes, which reassembled into our bodies at once. They became again the very erasure in which the streets, the dipping of their several necks, are clearly heard. When we ran, we consumed the way back to be sure we would never return. Lost in the scatter, we hummed ourselves a song once sung to us in a room, the image of porcelain. Those voices of secondhand smoke dragged long in us, all the petals falling from the same clear pause. And even if it seemed a dream coming through, it became a reality leaving. What kept us digging but the brilliance tangling our wood-grained hair, opening wind, its wide convertible. Not many of my poems are tied directly to stories, because they're not obviously narrative poems, they're very lyric in nature. But there's one story that I just couldn't pass up, and it happened one day when I came to my mother's house and I thought that she should be home. It was the day she should have been home. I came in and the house was empty, And on the rug, covering almost the entire carpet, were hundreds of dead bees, dead yellow jackets, which seemed pretty ominous. And so when I finally found out what had happened, it turned out she had been outside working to clear a path in the back and had uncovered a underground hive and had been stung, I guess, dozens of times by these bees and had gone running into the house and had an allergic reaction. So her tongue swelled up and her throat was closing and she was rushed to the hospital. So when you start to think about the mortality of your parents or those you love, I think it really strikes a chord. And so when I started to think about this poem, I was thinking about the allergic reaction and the physical reality, the bodily reality of that, and also the bodies of these bees, because it was a really striking image, really striking moment to me. Allergic. My mother, sudden with bees. Skin swarming into the one sad twine, a road seems from this distance. The fabric smokeless winter one can bend to see the question break, the zero, the stalk where it grows in the blood, with the rhythm of lovers who have nothing to lose. The cracked, inexpensive wristwatch crystal of each wing working, a vast collection of spectacles. She keeps still under their dried groves, their redecorated stemless lilies, and November's velvet cords. Her lips hisses, a spill of starved machines, her adrenaline lips, her barbed wire lips, in her one eye gravel, willowing, fracture, fronds of singe. The hours like 12 tarnished interior birds, countless spores, intravenous. My mother is sudden with bees. This next poem is a poem I wrote for my nephew when he was a newborn to celebrate his birth, and he's currently in the hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, undergoing an excruciatingly painful operation and procedure to lengthen one's legs. So I feel like I'm full of like unfortunate family. My mother almost died of these things. But so I wanted to read this poem for him tonight, thinking of him. Game with hours galloping, a garland. The children set out. They watch the chamomile grow up between their fingers and dream that they are born of wood. Tentless, their slight bodies dry like lavender. What irises and songs in the wasp-spun nest, in the lids of stars and grains of wheat, in the sand's pronouncements through each child's hands. The tentacles of breath in their tethered horses frost the dwindled fires. The children set out, lamenting as limbs lament, swimming as schools do, their quivers dyed with the ochres of the sea and filled with undersides of thorns. Insect wings ask questions in the underbrush, and the children answer with the snowdrifts they imagine, with a kind of white, with tiny wrists and tiny voices, with the lambs of their long, long choice. So I wanted to shift gears a bit. There's a section of family poems in the book, and then there's a section of what I call, you know, failed relationship poems or bad relationship poems. Happily, that time has passed me now. So I'll just read a quick one, I think, from that section. This is called What We No Longer Know, and works, I think, to capture the doubt that we feel when we're in a questionable situation. And each stanza is encompassed. Each stanza sort of answers that what we no longer know statement. What we no longer know. Whether the severe theater of your shadow breaks into ravens or is broken into crows. Whether morning makes a list of last night's weapons, or if warmth is any kind of reminder. Whether the night is a wide car worth driving, whether angry water makes martyrs of the sea. stones. When exactly fear, crushed by your feet as you entered the room, gave off its slight odor? When exactly you opened your mouth and I saw the teeth of a laid trap? If pieces of ourselves are darker when apart, how my skin healed if it was never cut? Whether open doors everywhere ever open further, when two voices at once become the same voice twice. Thunderstorm reminds me of my conviction. Its blue cathedral is trembling into the marrow of my mouth. Its sharp houses split open every string, then still into the trotting of rain. I live with unburied bones that brown instead of bleaching. Somehow I am separate from this. I will die and then grow old. The wheat and I will bend to different rivers. The wind will also brush my hair. The trees have already untethered their Appaloosas of shadow and shine. If I bear a daughter, she will not find me among low ceilings and half-black veils. Each of my heartbeats unlocks an asylum. There is good hunting. There is terrible joy. As I said, family section, iffy relationship section, and then as I've also said, these poems are sort of grappling with this idea of identity. So the poems, as the book moves forward, get more and more focused on the self, on the I, on the speaker, and more introspective, and start to think about the ways that the things that have happened have affected her. So instructions to a portraitist. Is written, and the speaker is the subject of the portrait, and she's addressing the portraitist, giving him or her instructions, knowing that the portrait may well outlast her. Instructions to the portraitist. Add to me a mechanical voice, the smell of the heavens because they smell of the earth, and what would hydrogen react with past forms of us falling? Add to me the removal, let the blood that follows feed. Look half at me, half at the long grass color the sky is beginning to have, beauty's poisonous reptile sleeping in your hand. If I wear a gemstone, make its thousands laugh. Don't think, you must reshape me as the fabrics grow weak. Otherwise I come out colorless and afraid. Add to me a long stretch of wetlands and the dying off of birds. Invent me teeth to bite with, scars to leave, the places you would name already in my eyes, as atmospheres the edges whisper, profiles I have left sworn, all the children you will later be made to believe in, their lineless fists and brows of silver lakeness, the gunshot, the cricket song, iris of steam. And the last poem I will read from Lynch's song is called Identity Narrative. And it's a prose poem in case you're one of those people who sort of pictures what's happening on the page as you hear something. Identity Narrative. Do not eat from October's black hand, oh my situation. Are you still, listen, innocence, a seam to be stitched or split with a throw of omens? I lay me down, my soul to keep. I have sown my amen in the earth. Sometimes I live in the open, my heartbeat a lamb, my heartbeat I am bleeding from the mouth, a heartbroken rain. The thin inches time will give me, winter as I stand and watch. The The small in me has anthems made of time's mouth, made of thousands of these. I will read my more childish self to sleep. She will use locusts only for as long as they rode the fields with the feeding they were meant for. She will nest where bats nest, set curtains to burning, place a marker beside my name so that I might return. Her heart, made of shale, lies in the mouth of a pious man. Its verses are stalls that keep the wind ceaseless. Its lamps cry light in the shape of young lovers as they two-step through the four rooms of God. So Body Thesaurus is a really different book in some ways. It addresses, as the title might suggest, the body and illness and health and the strangeness of being in a body that is mechanical, like a clock that winds up and breaks down, and yet somehow feels and seems eternal at the same time, because we know for a fact that we live forever and we know for a fact that we don't change, right? So I'll just read a few poems from Body Thesaurus. It's split up into poems that are symptoms, and then poems that are tests, medical tests, and then some antidote poems. So I'll read for you tonight a few key tests, the symptoms, two symptoms. I don't think I have any antidotes tonight. Fresh higher antidotes. So I'll begin with Rorschach tests. You guys know the Rorschach test is that faint blot that you're supposed to make some sense out of when you see it, and then they judge what you are by that. So if you imagine, this is like a series of metaphors or descriptions of that faint blot. Rorschach test. The rooks flying out from a burning house are in themselves the collapse of the eaves. Their grief has the hands of any man's whisper, the hiss of the falls being combed to sleep. Winter is the heart eating out of the hand. Its wail has a body of water. Babes scrape their hooves at the frozen ground, past tenses crying in odd pale shapes, hours schizophrenic as weeds. Opposites meet in the mouths of gods, animal black, taloned, asbestos filled to blaspheme the sleepless blood, all the wing structures filling endlessly. The pupil is a human face filled with misery, its movement through the trees builds a blueprint for uprooting, a roulette to be repeated until the rings of memory run out. So nice to have clapping between the people. Hemorrhage, you get the symptom, huh? Hemorrhage. And the blood is a mad or fast, fast thing, and the black thing of wind huge against the pain. Small marrow of wind not wishing us well. The herds, because by now the miraculous are beasts. The loss because we weep. The long hair of a girl. The slow and blind decay. Rows of infinite rain blossoming to sound, gone to husk over the long summer seed. Rows of weeds cracked like bracken lips. Shepherds ending where the wolves begin. It takes breath to say this kind of stink. It takes all we remember to know what we think. No one walks the land behind the house. No one reads by the light between cracks. No one is a passenger. No one knows what the elegy means, No one in the dance hall can remember the name of the one they hold. No one knows the wind has changed. No one knows the priest has locked the door to the church, and the last of the whiskey was drunk last week. So polygraph test. Not a medical test, maybe, I guess. And the jury's still out on whether you can, like, fool them, can you? I don't even know.
It's really hard to do.
Hard to do. Yeah. We'll keep practicing. Polygraph test. I confess to the hemlock in your drink. I confess to the gods, to the gutter intention. I confess to the doorway creep. Your kingdom of birds that burn like vowels in relation to the antidote you feign. I cut from your lapels the climate we create. I confess the porcelain cup, the evening smash, the portrait of your molecules' complexities. I confess to the no I have placed in your heart. I confess to the syringes filled with bleach. I confess to the memory, the shoes, to the cold I replenish in your name. I fenced your waking in with the old without, the leaving, the inability to breathe. I confess me real. When the two of us close in combat, I will act the magician. I will mimic the remedy. I confess the minor earthquake, our velocity remains. So just two more poems. Personality state, scavenger's daughter, is a symptom. Personality states are the different personalities that people with multiple personality disorder have and become. So in the book, there are, I think, seven. So there's prophet and convict and all these mixed up. Persephone, I think, is one. So all these personalities living in the same speaker's body. Scavenger's daughter is maybe the least friendly of them. Scavenger's daughter, I was in France a bunch of years ago and went to a torture museum. Like, the museum to celebrate the ways we have hurt other people and caused them deliberate pain. And the scavenger's daughter is this couple of bands, and they wrap it around someone and tighten, you know, you can imagine, it's not pleasant, and bleeding happens. But I also really like the literal implications of the daughter of a scavenger, so just the title really caught my imagination, so... Personality state, scavenger's daughter. I want to look prim, if not proper, twist modestly, if not sedate. I want to give fate a reason to hate me and exhaust me and lift me up. I want my taste on the lips. I want to give shivers living like lovers and prayers when I cannot. I want to break the way the branch predicts, break the veins of village, break the outer outside first, break the where to market, break the hand with work, break the gesture, break its jerk, break to know the gold rush want. Multiply the world by its wreckage and come out ahead, hearing dawn as it barks from the holds of ships, landing quick like music with its crack of whips, from the holds of a game I cannot watch. I want to sin at the eaves of heaven. One eye to the nowhere periscope of sleep. A stiff gene that fits an X where I have been. The many bicycles of memory and their many broken chains. I want hours to happen, beehive rich, and leave the watchman lane. I want my God with no religion. I want the tangled larceny of thirst. I want my heart to have such branches, it's October's dream. Little gravity, little jealousy of lust. Blocks of road, wind forbidden, excellence of coast. Mm-hmm. conjugating the void is at the end of a section. Maybe it doesn't fit any of these. Maybe it's a symptom, though. Maybe it's an antidote. None of the antidotes are really antidotes. They're like antidotes with symptoms or antidotes with attempts at diagnosis. So you'll see if you check them out that way. Conjugating the void. And I was as cold as the cold root goes, sources of calling and folded of shade, knotted of weed and a loosening parting. I was as cold as the sank ghost does. And I was as real as the blue unraw, as naked as amen, as awkward as old, round as a greeting and ancient unfastened. I was as real as the ill scrawl of love. And I was as near as the first moon rounded, as godlike as sinking and making of light, as mired by law as the ignorant thousand, as grave as the pages revisions in time. And I was as lost as the famine of living, as cordless and horrid and envied and dead. All of the mind was a reason to take me. I believed the lies, the world made flesh. Thank you.